Right. Well, we've got Professor Emeritus Peter Lynham on the phone, and I was wrong. I lose the bet today. We're not talking about Trump or the Pope. Peter Lynham, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, and I'm very tired of those subjects.
Oh, my goodness. Although he just keeps putting his hand up, doesn't he? That AI picture of him as the Pope, my goodness.
So appalling and so pathetic, but there we are.
Yeah.
No, I had thought that it was time that we went and explored some of the little-known religions.
Love it.
And I thought that I was fascinated when I was in India in 2006.
Yeah.
I was taken to the shrine of one of the shrines of the Jains. I knew nothing at all or very little about the Jains at that time.
Can we spell that just now so we're feeling on?
J-A-I-N.
Okay.
And the part that, of course, was immediately intriguing to me is that we went to one of their great temples on a hill in Karnat, Connecticut, and there was their statue of one of the gods whom they revere, stark naked.
Wow.
And not only stark naked, but around him, the priests gather, and the priests in this particular branch of Jainism, the monks, also go naked.
Okay.
The male, yes. So that's a little different. And in fact, during the years of colonial India, the British passed a law that said you couldn't go around naked. It was offensive. But they had done so for, well, millennia, actually, because it's probably one of the oldest religions in the world.
Wow.
So far as we can tell, it goes way, way back to roughly similar to the time when Judaism got going in, shall we say, the 14th century BC.
Wow. Okay, so obviously this is a sort of a modern version of God coming in and saying, you know, you should be embarrassed to be naked, and they didn't realize, is it, do you think, or do you think they were being rebellious?
Actually, the reason why they're naked is really quite logical when you think about it. Their fundamental principles of the Jains, and there's about 5 million of them in India, which would be big, except that, of course, Hinduism is vastly bigger.
Yeah.
But their fundamental principles are non-violence, asceticism, and understanding everybody's point of view. So it's kind of an interesting variant on the traditions of both Buddhism and Hinduism, which were, of course, in the same subcontinent and beginning to emerge at the same time. And because the particular monks of this branch of the Jains believe in absolute simplicity and in the respect for every human being, therefore simplicity and asceticism says you ought to go without clothes if you possibly can.
Okay. So when you said that I can get behind their you know, you said what were the three things again? But the second one you said was asceticism.
So asceticism, yeah.
So
but all seeing all sides of every question.
Hmm.
But non-violence is the other one.
That was the one, yeah.
Particularly interesting, yes. Because they are, and we know that Hinduism says that you shouldn't kill living creatures. And we know that Buddhism supposedly also subscribes to an attitude that you shouldn't endanger other people. But in most religions, there are blatant breaches of this that occur all the time. You only have to look at Myanmar or India versus Pakistan.
Everyone's got to accept in self-defense disclaimer, don't they?
That's right. Whereas the Jains, who were always this tiny minority, had to make some big decisions early on. And they probably, one of the reasons for the split in the two different types of Jains reflects on the question of whether you should use violence to defend the women who were monks or nuns. So one group says, yes, you should defend them with force. And others say, no, you have to let them go to the death. So it's a much more strongly held tenet of in the Jains than in most of the other religions. You know, Christianity too has people who subscribe to this, and yet, in a faltering kind of way, it has to be said. So I think that is really striking. So the ones who are truly longing to develop in this religion become monks, and then they take five vows: non-violence, truthfulness, not stealing, no sex, and not possessing anything, and hence not possessing anything, you will need to go naked.
Right.
And so that led to essentially their, like, not unlike Hindus, they're lacto-vegetarians, that's to say. They will drink milk or products of cows, but obviously not meat and not eggs. So they stand out very, quite distinctly from Hindus. I mean, in some ways, people have often speculated that Hinduism is an invention of the British anyway, that the British just lumped together a whole set of different types of religious practices and said, oh, they all belong together as Hinduism.
Right.
And then it became clear that the two groups, well, there were several groups that resisted this, but the Sikhs obviously did not fit. And the Jains also absolutely did not want to be identified with Hindus. But there probably are many, many sects in Hinduism that are so different from each other that you wonder why you would ever call them one religion. The Jains really are distinctive, particularly because also they have different views about reincarnation. They have different aspirations. And unlike the Hindus, for whom any number of gods are part of the pantheon, you know, there are as many gods as there are people, effectively, the Jains say very little about God. They're sort of above defining whether they're theists or not. Many are theists, but they say the universe was eternal and will be eternal. And so they don't need a god to invent that.
Right.
And so they stand out in that way. In other respects, they merge in India. And it's only the severity of their vows that really struck me very much. I mean, because in India... Have you been into India, Matthew?
I haven't. No, it's on my list.
On the yes, it's an overwhelming. India is always an overwhelming experience, I think.
As I understand, it's sort of when people say, "Oh, have you done India?" It's like, which of the many
yeah,
different
precisely.
Ways you can do it? Yeah.
And I have only seen South India, and so that means that I've missed some of the very, very strong features of Indian society, which is very much North Indian. But it was really interesting. Meeting within this particular Jain shrine we went to was up a hill, and so we clambered up this hill past various little shrines on the way till you come to this starkly naked statue. But once every 12 years, followers descend upon the statue and clothe it in extraordinary fashion with festoons of flowers and robes and all sorts of things. And this is one of their great festivals, to carry this out. So it's quite marvelous sort of occasion. And the place was extraordinary. And I think in a way, the kinds of Hinduism that we see here in New Zealand are often quite curtailed because they need to fit in to attract respect from local people, and therefore it looks so it blends a bit with our culture, not completely, but Hinduism in India is a powerfully in-your-face experience for anybody. To visit a temple with all the noise and excitement is extraordinary. And then to visit the Jain temple, which is not full of endless shrines to other gods, but is very much devoted to, this is a religion of a book. So it has sacred books, although most of them have actually disappeared.
Right.
But they have an enormous sense of reverence of truth and purity and goodness, which is very striking compared to the rest of Hindu society.
Mm. And how, I guess, I'm just weary of the time. We have to kind of... How well has it survived, I guess, is the question.
I think it has faced a lot of obstacles in modern India. But needless to say, Gandhi, who was always one, was very interested in other groups, was deeply respectful of the Jains.
Mm.
And in certain respects, his absolute non-violence commitment owed a lot to Jainism. So, yes, it has survived, but it hasn't flourished, I guess you have to
say.
Okay,
right. Interesting. Well, I think that, I mean, I'm intrigued enough to, I've already got the Wikipedia page open and I'm going to do some, because when you talk about these things, I love to go and visualise the, the clothing of the statue sounds remarkable, and just, you know, how old this thing is. I'm sure there's some incredible buildings and artworks, although maybe not with the simplicity.
Oh, yes, there are. Yeah, there are some very striking buildings. I wouldn't know fully, because there's Jainism is all over India. I just saw this one part of it.
Yeah. Cool.
Very good.
Well, that's fascinating. We do, of course, America is such a squeaky wheel, but it is nice to go and find out, very, very nice to find out what else is happening in the world.
I am predicting we'll be doing the new Pope next week. So.
Well, we can if you like, you know. I think people will be interested, won't they? Especially in your take on it. Thank you again, Peter.
Very good.
We'll speak again.
Bye-bye. Bye.